100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is your hour to ask legal questions. 1 hour every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Court Radio stands by ready to answer your legal questions one at a time. All you got to do is give us a call, 215-263-1003. Gets into the studio, 215-263-1003. Good morning to my guest host, the one and only CP Meraki.
Dean, how you doing this morning?
Dude, it's good to see you. You know,
you're good to be here.
You're a veteran of the Court Radio guest hosting slot.
I think you just can't find anybody to get up this early.
No, there's a whole line of people, but you keep bubbling to the top. You're really the go-to guy for guest hosting.
Thank you.
I certainly think after 3 weeks you can. This is a resume builder for you.
I'm going to go fix that as soon as I go home. Put it right at the top.
You know, I mean, don't worry, and I'll give you a letter of recommendation.
Well, I'll need one.
Several. 215-263-1003. This is Court Radio. You know, you can also find us at courtradio.com, where you'll find all of the taped prior shows, as well as some other good information. And it's also a place you can email me your questions. So if during the week you have a few moments and you have a Wi-Fi connection, you're thinking, where should I go today? You can always go to courtradio.com. And you can reach us in the studio, as I said, 215-263-1003. So let's see what's going on. You know, one of the important legal things that popped up on the Philadelphia scene this week is Vincent Fumo, politician extraordinaire, was released from the confines of the federal pen, and he didn't go to a halfway house. I wonder how our listeners feel about this. Typically, prisoners coming out of jail go to a halfway house for 6 months. Usually, you know, could be longer, could be a little shorter, but 6 months a typical halfway house sentence. And there is a federal halfway house in Philadelphia where you hang for a little while you get acclimated back to society. And he skipped that step, CP. He went right back to his house.
He's living in a 33-room mansion in the Fairmount section. But some of the amenities don't apply, like the heated sidewalks.
Yeah, that won't come into play for a little while, but if you got heated sidewalks, I guess you got heated floors, too, maybe in his bathroom. You know, wow. Get your little toes warmed up. And that's got to be a big difference from whence he just came. He was put in jail for 4 years for, I guess, the crime was using his paid state staff to run errands for him and to engage in political activities for his reelection. I mean, essentially, that's what he was accused of, I think.
I think sometimes you get caught up in the, you know, in the atmosphere. He's always been a powerful figure and ward leader, state senator. And sometimes those lines get blurred and it seems as though he crossed one or two of them. But
I mean, I think the whole idea, personally, you know, I think the idea that if that's what he did, and that's essentially what was reported, I think that I didn't like attend the trial, but that was my recollection of what was reported. It seems like a waste of prosecutorial time and a waste of sitting in jail for 4 years. I think we as a society throw our peeps in jail too often. That's my opinion. you know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, you take the job away from him if he did something so heinous as to use his secretary to do some political activities. Take the job away, you know, you throw apples at him in the town square. You embarrass him. He walks around with a red letter on his forehead. Whatever. But, I mean, 4 years in jail for that seems stupid.
I think some of it had to do with some misappropriation of funds, and I think that's what got the public's ire up and the prosecution.
Yeah. Once again, I'm underwhelmed by it. I think... You know, when somebody steals from the masses, I think there's an answer. He could have gone to jail if he couldn't afford it to pay it back. But if he could have, like, triple the amount. Like, if he stole $4 million, take $12 million. Give the other $8 million to a charity and kick him out. You know, I mean, you fight fire with fire. Don't send the knucklehead to jail. I mean, what good did that do anybody? Take that 33-room mansion. Take all his money. Give it to, you know, kids with cancer or something, and mock him. I mean, you know, the guy's, you know, if he stole, fine. Then there needs to be a punishment. We just have it all wrong with this. Let's throw everybody in jail. You know, I mean, we can't jail enough people. What a wacky world we live in. 215-263-1003. What do you think about FUMO? About the original trial, the sentence, was it appropriate? Should we have taken money instead of time? And there's another angle to this. Corey Kemp was arrested and convicted for similar crimes, and he's still sitting in Kentucky while Fumo's sitting in the 33-room mansion.
I think he was convicted of 110 crimes less than Fumo also. So there's a little disparity.
Yeah, well, Kemp is a piker. He's just not. He doesn't live up to the standards that Vincent has established. I mean, it seems to me that there's some. It's inappropriate in some ways in that it went too far. I don't think jail was the answer. I think they could have gotten a lot of money out of Fumo, right? I mean, the guy's rich. They could have sucked him dry for everything he had.
I think they're still trying to do that. They're trying to go after more money, even though the case is over, because there's a portion of it that's still being appealed where he can pay some higher fines.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, if you had, it's the carrot and the stick. If you had said to Vince before he was about to serve 4 years, if you had said to him before he was about to serve 4 years, look, come up with $15 million and we're not going to put you in jail. You're not going to go to jail. You know, that's when you have the greatest carrot or the greatest stick. And he had to come up with the money. You know, I'm convinced of it. He had enough friends. He had to come up with the money.
Well, Corey Kemp could have never come up with that kind of money. He was he was a working guy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that's, as some say, he might have been a fall guy. You know, the patsy, the prototypical patsy.
That could be.
I don't know. Folks, if you're listening to CP and I, you can chime in on the FUMO matter or any other legal questions you have. 215-263-1003. What else is going on, CP?
Oh, did you get a chance to see that game Friday night?
I did not. I was tied up. I don't usually watch preseason, but I heard they lost to the Patriots. And how did they look? Did you see it?
I didn't see it, but I saw a couple of the highlights. And I'll tell you what, that Michael Vick looked excellent.
I think he won himself an opening spot. I think there's a couple things probably going on, you know. I definitely think if it was a toss up, I think he's earned the right as last year's quarterback to take the team onto the field for the first snap.
You know, when Mike's on, he's, you know, I think he's one of the best, and it's
if Vic can get some protection, he might actually, you know, be effective.
That pass to DeSean Jackson looked like, if it's a preview of things to come, their offense may not be so bad.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you're a season ticket holder, and you're also just trying to set yourself up for the StubHub, you know, bonus round. I understand that. So you can talk all you want, but let me tell you that the Eagles are not going to the Super Bowl.
Should I get my playoff tickets now?
The Eagles are not going to the Super Bowl. You could talk a good game, but the StubHub bonus round is not going to be yours.
All right, we'll set it up for next year.
Next year, maybe, yeah. But, you know, we know you're always in the Philadelphia sports ticket game. You know, I mean, you got the Sixers. You leave nobody out. You left the Flyers out this year.
We left the Flyers out this year.
Okay.
Although we can trade some Sixer tickets to some Flyer people and try to get in that way.
There you go. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I do have seats for the game where Andy Reid's coming back to town. And, you know, you go ahead.
That's supposed to be...
That's going to be an interesting game.
And that's the only night game that's on the Phillies' home schedule. And that's, I think, the second game of the season.
Uh-huh.
Thursday night, what is it, the 17th?
19th.
And I think there's going to be a lot of interest in that game because of Andy Reid.
I do, and I think they're going to be retiring Donovan's number that night as well. It's going to be a potpourri of Eagles fun times. Let's talk to Kim from New Jersey. Good morning,
Hello.
Kim. Hi, Kim. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about what you just said, basically, about giving the man a chance to buy out of his crime by letting him give money instead of paying the time. That would be absurd. It goes against everybody that doesn't have money.
Yeah.
But only the rich are supposed to pay off their crimes.
Yeah, it does. You're right. But when it's a financial crime, it seems to me that that really nobody. Listen, if we could have the those who are not rich, how about this? We get the rich to pay the money, and then those who aren't rich can do volunteer work to pay back the money. It just seems stupid to me. I want to put as few people in jail as possible. I want to put violent, nasty criminals in jail, and I want to save jail only for that. And then everybody else, we have to find an alternative way to punish them. I'm not suggesting they should go unpunished. I'm not suggesting that they should, that the rich should get a pass. But I just don't think that jail's the first answer to our questions. I think far too often these prosecutors who get paid to put people in jail, that's their first go-to line of defense.
Oh, you know what? I got what you're saying, and I agree with that about the, you know, just sending them right to jail.
Yeah.
I like the idea of him paying money, but not to excuse the crime and not to, take place of something. But, and I agree that the prisons are overcrowded, and I agree with you. Violent crimes, things like that. And I like the idea of the volunteer work as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. See that?
Well, sounds like you converted, Kim. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Well, she's a juror. She's a juror for my next trial.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, Kim. Thanks for calling Court Radio, dear, and have a great day.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
215-263-1003. You know, if I could run the world, I'd get this right, I think. It doesn't take a lot, you know. First of all, you have to do things that aren't that popular. Like, you have to say things like, hey, you know, jail's not the first answer. But you get these politicians they have talking points for dumb politicians. And, like, one of them is, I'm going to put everybody in jail. And I don't know.
One of the things you do to hurt a politician, too, is take him out of office. Sometimes that hurts worse than the actual time that they may have to spend in jail.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would have been the first thing. That's what I said. Take him out of his job. We get to throw apples at him in the town square. We take all his money. I mean, there's things you can do that hurt. I mean, that really teach a lesson. But, you know, going to jail for 4 years, that cost me money. That cost me money. What are you doing, you knuckleheads? Ay, ay, ay. 215-263-1003. The lines are lighting up. Let's talk to Rochelle from Vineland. We have a We have a spate of New Jersey callers today. Hey, Rochelle, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. How are you? Can you hear me?
We can hear you lovely.
Nice and loud, Rochelle.
Yeah, you're perfect.
Awesome. Okay, here's my situation, very short, condensed version. My house burned down a little over a year ago, and, of course, I had insurance and the mortgage company. I found a contractor. We went through all the bells and whistles in order to get the money to get the house fixed. The contractor filed false information with the city as far as permits. I started getting letters saying that I was going to get fines if I didn't fix it and all that stuff. So, and he was also doing really, really sloppy work. So I wanted to let him go. But when it came time for me to let him go, the mortgage company says, well, we need a letter from them saying that he no longer works for you, unless otherwise we're not going to release the money to you in order for you to finish the home, because there was still two quarters of the money that still had to be given. Two-thirds, I'm sorry. I'll hire the lawyer, put out a lot of money for the lawyer in order for the whole situation to be straightened out. Of course, the contractor, one, did not want to be let go. Two, was trying to sue for more money. And it just ended up going nowhere. My lawyer just, I don't know what happened, puffed in the wind, was sending certified letters, was getting no response. So I eventually let them go. And now I'm in a situation where absolutely nobody in this area, which is New Jersey, will take this freaking case for whatever reason, and I'm running out of money, and it's driving me nuts because my house is still unlivable.
Yeah, it's. I feel your pain, I'll tell you that much. It sounds like you're going through hell, and there's not a really quick answer. You know, when we make decisions with regards to contractors, they're painful decisions when they go bad. And the reason no lawyer wants to get involved is because there's no incentive financially, unfortunately, for that lawyer to litigate a case. You know, you'll have your story. The contractor apparently will have his story. And this litigation is never quick. It could take, you know, usually when I do commercial litigation, okay, contract dispute litigation, 2 years, 2.5 years is not out of the ordinary for how long it might take from beginning to end. And you're in the middle of trying to get back into your house during this time, which is just makes it impossible. How does one do that? Well, you know, there are certain perhaps aggressive legal stances, injunctive relief that one might be able to take without knowing all the facts of your case. But it's not cheap. It's very expensive. And when you have contract litigation, any litigation really, each party has to pay their own litigation costs. So legal fees will be borne even if you're the winner. Unless, of course, the contract specifies that some contracts say that if you win, you get your legal fees back. But absent that, everybody pays their own legal fees, even when somebody's taken advantage of you. And so the legal fees in something like that could easily approach, you know, $50,000 by the time you start doing depositions and getting experts to say that things weren't up to standards. And it's just a big mess. And I don't know how to extricate you from that mess. But we do have some interesting people on the show today who are going to be specialists in getting mortgages and housing. And who knows, maybe they'll be able to comment on that and give you some tips or suggestions. Thanks for calling Court Radio. I wish I could tell you a easier, simpler way, but I don't think there is right now.
Well, I appreciate you at least letting me know I'm not crazy and that I have a better understanding as to why I'm getting the runaround at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, good luck with that. And if you have any other questions during the week and you want to reach me, you can always call me at the office at 215-227-2727.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I felt her pain. You know, it's just a horrible thing when you're dealing with toads and construction. You know that. Now you want to talk about that. Let's put some construction guys, these guys who prey on poor innocent people, put them in jail for, you know, 5 months or 6 months, maybe. All right, let's talk to Will from North Philly. Hello, Will. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Westman. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well, thanks. Thanks for
good.
Listening.
Listen, I wanted to comment on that, the Vince Puma situation. And he was talking about putting them guys in jail. I have the same idea, man. I really believe that the city should stop all these small arrests and put some of these convicts to work on these schools and stuff that we need rebuilt for these kids to go back to school this year.
That's an excellent idea.
I'm telling you, carrot and the stick, Will. The carrot and the stick.
Exactly. And now, one more thing, Ed. You didn't have to be so modest with the young lady over in Jersey. You could have told us you called the wrong attorney.
Thank you, Will. Thank you very much.
Have a great day, man. Thanks for the time and service for the hour period again.
Take care of yourself. You're welcome. Take care, Will.
All righty.
215-263-1003. All right, Mr. Mararkey, we're moving on to our hot-button topic. We have a guest in the studio. It's Paula Powers. Good morning, Paula, and welcome to Core Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Paula is Director of Housing Counseling at the nonprofit community organization Credit Counseling Center in Richboro. Yeah, just move right up to that microphone,
sure.
Paula.
I'm here. Thank you.
So what does your organization do? Tell me that. Let's set the stage. Folks, we're going to be talking about credit counseling. We're going to be talking about what to do when there's mistakes on your credit report. There was a recent, I like to bring recent verdicts to my Philadelphia listeners. And there was a verdict from the Midwest, I believe, that was for over 18 million bananas. Okay? 18 million bucks somebody got because one of the three major credit reporting agencies.
It was Equifax.
Okay. It could have been Equifax. It was Equifax, but it could have been either, you know, there's also the TransUnion, Equifax, and what's the third one?
Experience.
See, I want to test her. I'm not testing. CP, you got to let the guest, you know, I'm going to make sure we have the right guest on here. So,
absolutely have the right guest.
So they get $18 million because Equifax had derogatory credit, but it was false derogatory credit on this woman's report, and she gave them an opportunity to correct it repeatedly, apparently, and they didn't do it. They snubbed her, and she got herself a lawyer in the middle of the country somewhere, and they brought Equifax into court. And that jury took it to Equifax, and you know what? I'd love that in Philly. You know, I mean, can you find 12 people who like these credit reporting agencies? Come on.
You don't have 12 people that work for them that like them, let alone anybody else.
Oh, my God. They couldn't give this woman enough money, $18 million. So let me ask you something, Paula. Is this a common problem?
It is. As a matter of fact, the Federal Trade Commission just came out with a report, and it seems that more than a third of consumers have erroneous information on their credit reports. This is a huge case. She received $18.6 million. I would take this $0.6 because they did not respond to her inquiry. As a matter of fact, she tried for over 2 years to get the error corrected, and so now she doesn't need them to correct it.
No, she doesn't. Here's my prediction. Okay, it's like the McDonald's case. It's a statement. $18 million is a statement that the jury made. That, you know what, you have a lot of power, credit reporting agencies. You have a lot of power to affect us in a negative way, and we're going to give you that power. But you're going to handle it responsibly. And if you don't, we're going to punish you bad. And so she only had a couple $100,000 worth of real compensatory damages. And folks, what I mean by that is, let's say that you have derogatory credit. Well, one of the negative things, I guess, is that you're going to pay more interest than somebody with good credit, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So instead of getting that, 3%, 30-year mortgage, you might be getting a 7% 30-year mortgage.
That's right, if you get a mortgage at all.
If at all. And I bet you're going to talk to us about some of the things you've seen. But, you know, that's real dollars, though. I mean, like you may spend a few $100,000 more over the course of your loan because your credit's not as good as mine.
That's right.
And so that's what happened to this woman, and she sued them for that extra money she had to pay to get her credit. But they gave her a lot in punitive damages, probably more than they were allowed to. I predict Weitzman predicts that that gets ratcheted back a little bit over time in the appellate courts.
I bet you she's happy she got the $18 million instead of Equifax going to jail.
Yeah, there, see? There you go, CP. That was a good segue. Credit for you on the guest hosting roles. We were talking earlier about sending people to jail or taking their cash. So, Paula, tell us, what is somebody supposed to do if they have erroneous derogatory credit?
First of all, you won't know if you have erroneous or derogatory credit unless you pull your credit report. But once you do, you contact the credit reporting agency. If they don't respond, then you should go directly back to the creditor that's sending the erroneous data, but always going back to the credit reporting agency, providing documentation, proof that they're incorrect. And after those activities have been taken care of and you still don't get a response, you may need to step out and do an inquiry through the Federal Trade Commission.
Really? Well, we'll get to that in one second. But that's a great idea. So not only do you deal with the credit reporting agency, but you also deal with the creditor who gave them, supposedly, because sometimes it could be a mistake solely and wholly by the credit reporting agency. Right. I mean, they could add somebody's negative credit to your report that it got nothing to do with you.
Right, as in the case with her name was Julie Miller in Oregon. It was mistaken identity. She had the same name as a person whose information showed up on her report. Their information was crossed. So it wasn't the creditor's fault. It was the credit reporting agency.
Got it. And she notified them. Now, how do you notify them? Because, I mean, do I just pick the phone up and call? And you know what? You're on the phone with them for
hours, days.
It's painful. It is so painful. What do?
You can go online and do an inquiry. You can go to any of the credit reporting agencies directly to their website. You can call. You can send a written letter also explaining the circumstances. And then that does take more time, though, that you have to give them time to receive it, read it, respond back to you.
And folks, as I've said before, and I'll say again, do not send any mail that is not certified, return receipt requested, so you have some proof that you sent it. Don't just stick an envelope in the mail. Spend a few dollars so that you can track it and you can have proof that they got it. When they say, oh, we didn't get it, you can say, well, yes, here, someone in the mailroom signed for it, it's yours.
Plus, if you send them an email, you'd be able to print it out, and if they don't answer it within a reasonable period of time, you also have proof that, you know, you did in fact send it, so they won't be able to say, gee, I never got it.
Now, Paula Powers, what's their obligation once they, the credit reporting agency, gets notification from me, the poor debtor? What do they have to do?
They're obligated to investigate your inquiry, and they should be able to respond to you in a reasonable amount of time, at least within 30 days, to let you know that they have at least received your inquiry.
Okay. So within 30 days, they should be responding to you, folks. Listen, we're talking about mistakes on your credit report, which is probably so common that all of our listeners have experienced something like this, and what to do about it, and what rights you have if they don't take care of your right. Somebody got $18 million. Will somebody in Philly get $18 million? Who knows? 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003. You got questions for Paula, for CP or I? Give us a call. We're here to answer your questions for the next 32 minutes right after this break.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Old School 100.3. I'm Dean Weitzman, and joined in the studio with C.P. Mararkey, my guest host. Hello, C.P.
How are you, Dean?
Doing well, thanks. And we have Paula Powers with special powers she has to make your credit right, I guess, because you work for an agency that's what it's all about.
Well, we don't make credit right. What we do is help, we empower consumers so they can help control their own credit.
Anything sounds better than the way I put it. How do they get in touch with you, Paula?
Well, we have one phone number, 215-348-8003. And that's to our main switchboard office in Doylestown. We've got three offices, Richboro, Levittown, and Doylestown.
Wow, this is like a Bucks County haven. What's wrong with the city of Philadelphia?
We work with lots of folks in Philadelphia.
Do you?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
And what's that number one more time?
215-348-8003.
And why would somebody call you?
Well, oftentimes people call because they have concerns about their credit report. They want to purchase a home, and they know there's things they need to have cleared up. Oftentimes people call us because they have mortgage problems. They've defaulted or they're facing imminent default.
And how do you help those folks?
Well, we do a lot of number crunching. For everyone that comes into Credit Counseling Center, we start off with a budget. We need to know how much is coming into the household and how much has to go out for their liability requirements. Then we may just deal directly with the lender if they are in default with them, so we can prove how they can move forward successfully. Help them apply for possibly a loan modification, forbearance agreements, repayment plans, whatever it is that we find is the most reasonable and feasible.
Okay. And is this a common problem with people going for mortgages, bad, issues on credit reports?
Yes, we see it a lot. A lot of missing information and misinformation.
And how is it that they can correct that? Well, what's your go-to advice on correcting a misinformation or missing information?
I will typically have the consumer have a copy of their credit report in front of them from whichever credit reporting agency we're reviewing, and just circle and document on that credit report the errors. Can send that copy, make a copy for yourself, send it directly to the credit reporting agency so they can see what you're talking about along with the letter.
All right. Well, we have on the line as well, Paula, we have Dustin Tomey. Hey, Dustin, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks. Dustin is the executive director of Affordable Housing Centers of Pennsylvania. And
yep.
I don't know how much of the show you caught, Dustin, but we're here talking about errors in people's credit reports and how to correct them. There was a recent case in Oregon of a woman who had some errors in her credit report from Equifax, and she begged and begged and begged for years, maybe 2 years, for them to make corrections to this report, and they scoffed at her, and she hired herself a lawyer in Oregon, and they took Equifax to court, and voila, the jury in their infinite wisdom, never make a mistake, hit Equifax for 18.6, that 0.6 was for Paula, $18.6 million. This must have flown through the ranks of you folks who deal with credit problems like wildfire, huh? Have you heard about this?
I have. It's pretty encouraging that someone can, with the proper documentation and with the proper follow-up, get something resolved. And even if it took that long, which I hope it doesn't for most people, but it's encouraging that they can right that wrong for her.
Yeah, the system worked. Do you find, for the most part, that the credit reporting agencies rectify mistakes promptly?
Within reason, I believe they do. I think the most important thing is having documentation. People that don't keep documentation often when it comes to proving that they've paid something or being able to show that they have taken care of something on their credit report, those people seem to have a little faster turn time. But the visual image we often use with restoring your credit is like turning a ship. And these ships of credit reporting agencies, they take a little while to turn. They can't just turn on a dime. So when everything's been sent in within 3 to 6 months, often that's the commonplace for resolving errors within our experience at our organization. Sometimes it does take longer, and sometimes it is faster, but you can't expect for it to happen overnight, and it's kind of like turning a ship.
That was a question I have for you, and in a roundabout way, I think you did answer it, in that if somebody is going to begin the process of buying a house, okay, they want to buy a house and get a mortgage, obviously. How far out do they need to begin to think about their credit and their credit report?
That's a great question. And I would say never is it too early. We learn in school about math and science and history, but we don't really learn about financial things often. And as early as you can begin to think about these things, it's important. And that's what we exist for, is to educate people and provide resources for people so that they can start thinking about them sooner before it becomes a hindrance.
I'll tell you.
At a minimum, I would say a year in advance.
You agree with that, Paula?
I totally agree.
Yeah. I have to say that I undertook this just as a kind of an educational opportunity for myself about 2 years ago. I ordered my credit report, and it wasn't so pretty. There was I had a lot of credit, but I had some bad credit when I was a kid, and it was still there, and my score wasn't all that high. Anyway, the long and the short of it is I started writing to the credit reporting agencies and telling them, well, this has been paid, and this is no longer out there, and this was wrong. It was, some mistakes. And almost immediately, I started to watch my score begin to rise.
Yeah.
Now I have, one of the highest scores in the nation. I feel like the kid who gets the shiny apple for the teacher. I've been communicating with the credit reporting agencies on a daily basis. They know me by as soon as they call their ID. Oh, Dean, it's you again. So, but I stay on top of it. I watch it all the time. Now the question is that stupid? I mean, am I paying too much attention to it? I actually have a monthly charge, and they tell me if there's any changes to my credit. So every time I go out and get new credit or pay a bill off or whatever I do, I get a notice. Oh, your credit report, your credit score changed. And it might go up or down by 1 or 2 points on a weekly basis. Go ahead, Paula.
I think it's a great thing to do if you have the wherewithal to do it. If you don't have the funds available to pay every month, then periodic checks would be sufficient. But with identity theft as it is today, I check mine every month.
There you go. Paula Powers says check your credit often. How about Dustin, what do you think?
Well, to follow up on what Paula said, some of the just periodic checks is definitely what we recommend. And annualcreditreport.com through the Federal Trade Commission is the source for obtaining your free credit report. And you have the right to receive this once a year from all three of the credit reporting agencies. So you can go to annualcreditreport.com for free and pull your credit report from each of the three bureaus once a year. And I would recommend at a minimum going to, if you were to do it this way, check your Experian 4 months, like in July. 4 months later, go to the TransUnion one. 4 months later, check the Equifax one. Get those for free once a year, and then you've pretty much kept up on quarterly or one three times a year basis your credit report, and you haven't paid a dime.
Dustin, even though these are free, do you need a credit card to obtain it?
No, you just have to verify your identity, and you only would do that on a secure connection. You don't have to pay for the credit report on annualcreditreport.com.
All right, let me ask you a question. There's some companies, this is kind of a little far afield of what we're talking about, but maybe you guys have some experience with this. There are companies I saw that, I'm going to use the word, the term, they prey on people with bad credit, but maybe I'm being unfair, I don't know, where you can go to them and they'll help you rehabilitate your credit by negotiating and dealing with your creditors. And you pay them a fee to do that. Are those companies, generally speaking, we're not naming names, but generally speaking, are those companies good for people to engage or not?
In some circumstances, they can be detrimental to a person's credit. So if the person does not have credit that is in collections already, and they go to a company, and the only way the creditor will negotiate with them is if they do a settlement. And the only way they'll do the settlement is if the debt is in collections. Well, here you have a person that probably could have salvaged their credit without it going to collections. So in some cases, that could be quite detrimental.
Ah, I never thought about that like that. Dustin, what's your organization and what do you do?
Affordable Housing Centers of Pennsylvania. We specialize in first-time home buying counseling and also foreclosure prevention counseling. So those are our two main areas, but we also do financial literacy courses, and also we help apply for delinquent tax repayment plans for people with delinquent property taxes and small home repair loans through the City of Philadelphia's PHIL loan program.
How do people get in touch with you, Dustin?
You can reach us at our phone number, 215-765-1221, or you can go and visit our website at www.ahcopa.org.
ahcopa.org. All right, Dustin, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being a part of today's show. We really do appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, be well.
You too. Bye.
Well, Paula, there's the companies that help you rehabilitate your credit, and they get a piece of the action. And you said sometimes doesn't make a lot of sense. Sometimes it does. When does it make sense?
Well, I will tell you this. Typically, I don't recommend those types of companies to anyone,
mm-hmm.
only because they're doing things you could probably do for yourself.
There you go.
You could call your creditors yourself and negotiate. Honestly.
Honestly, that's the truth. And you don't have to pay anybody a piece of the debt. And, as you said before, you got to start out with a budget. You got to know how much you can afford to pay.
That's right.
Because once you cut the deal, folks, you want to make sure you can live by that deal.
That's right. You need to not only be able to live by that deal, but also, do you have any funds available for an emergency for yourself? So, are you jeopardizing your ability to go to work if you need work done on your car?
Right.
On our website, which is ccc-credit.com, we have a budget you can fill out for yourself. And we oftentimes have folks fill out the budget and submit it to us so we can give them feedback.
Wow, I like that. One more time then. Give me that website or the address.
ccc-credit.com.
ccc-credit.com, and there's a budget form on there, folks, for you to fill out and get some advice. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Paula Powers. I know you're rushing off to another engagement, and so you won't be back here when we come back from break. So I just wanted to thank you for being here. I hope you had a good time.
Had a great time. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to have you back again.
You did a great job, Paula.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be right back. We're talking about what to do if you got bad credit or you got some derogatory credit or false derogatory credit on how to get it fixed legally. 215-263-1003. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Yo, yo, it's Dean Weitzman, joined by my special guest host, C.P. Meraki. Welcome, C.P.
Nice to be here again, Dean.
Yeah, you know, it's been a pleasure having you in as David's replacement these weeks. I hope you'll come back again soon when we have a spot open.
I'd love to. My pleasure.
And don't forget to, you know, make that change to the resume. Let's talk to Melody from Germantown, who's been so patient. Melody, I'm so sorry we took so long to get to you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for even answering my call. I surely appreciate it. And I just want to take a moment to thank you and your staff for educating our city on so many matters. You guys are great.
Thank
so
you.
I want to start with that.
Thanks, Melody. Thank you. I'm going to tape that, and you might be hearing yourself now. For now on Radio 1's stations. All right, what's your question, Melody?
My question is, the hybrid cars are fairly new in our system. I recently purchased one, a 2007 Nissan Hybrid Altima.
I thought I was
careful with the warranty. I wasn't careful enough. The dealership I bought it from, which wasn't a Nissan dealership, it was a private dealership. I would like to blast them, but I'm not going to go there. the warranty says 90 days or 3,000 miles for very expensive parts of the car. Now, to my knowledge, the battery is included. Now, the hybrid battery, which is separate, I had no idea there was two batteries in this one vehicle. I am 2 months into this very expensive vehicle, and my hybrid battery just went with no type of warning. And this is a $5,000 battery.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm in a loophole here. I'm trying to get the dealership. I mean, the guy I bought it from, the private dealer, I'm thinking he's going to pay half. I'm going to pay half because I finally accepted the fact that I got to put out more money for a new vehicle that I bought, I'm having a hard time adjusting to this. But when I accepted that, I said, okay, well, you guys got to pay half of this. He said, well, no, we don't, Melody, because this battery's not included on your warranty. I said, what do you mean? It says battery. He said, no, you have a battery and a hybrid battery.
Yeah, well, here, let me answer your question. Okay. Your question's a good question. And the contract ultimately will prevail. Okay. But, here's the big but. When a contract is ambiguous, and what you're describing to me is an ambiguity in the contract, because there's a mention of a battery being covered, but it's not specifying what battery they're referring to.
That's exactly right.
I would bet you, okay, this is my bet. I'll bet you that if you go into court and you sue, go on, name them. Go on, Melody. Do it.
Riley Motors. People. This is crazy.
I knew.
Oh, my God. I hope people just open their eyes to this place, because he is definitely selling cars. And then, you know what? The research I did a little after I'm finding out this loophole, man, these batteries go without warning.
Yeah.
From 2007 to 2009, they improved them after that. But between those 3 years, anybody buy a 2007 to 2009, they're going to be in trouble.
There you go. So anyway, here's my advice. You go down to municipal court in Philadelphia. They're in Philly, right?
Yes.
Riley Motors. Okay.
Yes.
So you go down to municipal court in Philadelphia, and the young ladies or men behind the counter will be very helpful to help you file that lawsuit. Okay, and it won't cost you too much, and you bring Riley Motors into court with your contract, and you show the judge the contract, and you mention the fact that the contract is ambiguous, that you believed when you entered into this contract that the battery, the hybrid battery, was covered by the same warranty. I think the judge will agree with you, and ambiguities are decided. When there's an ambiguity, it's decided against the contract maker, and so you are just a signer of the contract. That contract will be deemed made by Riley Motors, and if there's an ambiguity, you win on that toss-up. Okay, and so I say sue them and go into court and get your money the way you have to do it.
Okay. I will do that.
And I want, this is the only thing I want from my advice. I want to call back when you beat their butts and you call me back and say, Dean, you were right.
Okay.
All right, Melody.
So. Good luck, Melody.
Thank you.
215-263-1003. Let's talk to Jimmy from the Northeast. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio, Jimmy.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. What's your question or comment? Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, there you go. How's it going?
It's going well, thanks. What's going on?
I want to. I'm calling in regards to what I just heard you guys talking about with the credit.
Yep.
And trying to get it repaired. I've had a lot of credit trouble for a long time, and just recently I got it all fixed. One, I have a very common name. I have my father's name. Jimmy Johnson, okay? So the problem I was having was that there were some things that were on his report, or that were supposed to be on his report, that were on my report. So I was the one getting in trouble,
doing the deed. He did the deed.
It wasn't that he was doing anything wrong. It was like Paula said, it got... our information got crossed.
Right.
And when I was younger, I'd say about 10 years ago, when I was trying to get this taken care of, they wouldn't give me the time, but they wouldn't give me the time of day. So, I guess I just waited. And, I mean, you see this guy on TV, and this is how I got everything taken care of. Guy on TV, Kevin Trudeau. One of his books is called Free Money, the Government Doesn't Want You to Know About, but he has two other books called Debt Cures. I got those books around this time last year. I read those books all the way until January, both of them. I went, at the end of January, I went on a full-out assault. I went to all three credit reporting bureaus online, to annualcreditreport.com, like they've been saying. I went there, and then I disputed everything.
Bam.
I went from last year,
Go.
And, 2 years ago, when I got my Honda Accord, my credit score was at 561.
Doesn't get much lower than that.
I think
they give you 500 just for signing your name, you know, like the SATs. You get a certain amount. But anyway, 561, and now what are you today?
In less than 5 months, I went from 561 to 700.
Wow.
Nice.
Nice job.
Everything that happened with, like you said, was happening with yours, happened with mine. It was just like everything was just coming off. Every month I kept getting either an email or from TransUnion, you get paper. So I got paper verification that, you know, they had just taken everything off.
Right.
So all of my negatives got taken off. And then what I did was I went and got credit cards because I had never been able to get credit cards. I learned how to use and properly operate credit cards, whereas actually my score was at like 620 something. I just got it pushed up to 700 over the past couple of months just by using the credit cards and using them properly.
Right, and properly means that you pay them off, you use them, and you pay them.
I don't pay them. As soon as it comes, it shows up on my account, I pay it then. I don't pay for big things on my card that I can't possibly pay for with less than $50. It's just bills I normally put on there. Everything else I pay for with my own money.
Mm-hmm.
No point in putting something on there that I can't pay for. So
there you go.
You just have to be wise about how you use credit. So my best recommendation would be for all your listeners, get these two books, and you can go on eBay and get them. Get these two books by a gentleman by the name of Kevin Trudeau called Debt Cures and Debt Cures 2. That will tell you everything you need to know. Exactly what Paula said. Paula said, you don't have to, she said, truthfully, you don't have to go to any of those places. Because I went to, and I'm going to shout them out, Lexington Law. They only got one thing taken off my credit report, and that was an inquiry. So they never disputed all of the other stuff that was on there.
That sounds pretty responsible, Jimmy. Good job.
Hey, Jimmy, you getting a piece of the action from Trudeau's books? Come on, be honest with me.
No. I've also just like the other gentleman that was on. I think his name was Tim. He said we don't learn about financial education in school.
Yeah.
Over the past few months, I've picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Read Robert Kiyosaki's books. Tell your listeners, get his books. Get his information that will show you how. For one thing, it'll give you you'll get financial education by reading that series.
Yeah, I had the Poor Dad for damn sure. I did not have the Rich Dad, but I agree with you. And
neither do I.
So yeah, it's...
I was offended just by the name of it, which is why I never picked the book up.
All right, Jimmy Johnson, we got to go, but thanks for calling Court Radio. Thanks for being a listener, and thanks for your great advice.
All right, and I'll listen to you. I listen to you as much as I can. I really do like your show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good weekend, Jimmy.
And the Birds aren't going to the Super Bowl. Everybody better
okay.
Get on the
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. Jimmy Johnson, if the Birds go to the Super Bowl, you're coming on Court Radio. You can smack me down. You'll be my guest host for that show.
I am a Cowboys fan, so I'm pretty sure you're
with a name like Jimmy Johnson, you'd have to be, right?
Me talking trash about the Eagles.
All right. Thanks for having a great some great advice for us, and have a great Sunday, Jimmy.
All right, you too.
All right. Folks, all right. We're all out of time. My buddy E. Stephen Collins and his bald head is coming up next right here on Old School 100.3 after this break.